Okay, today's daf is daf Zion. We'll start. We'll start at the two dots at the bottom of Vav Amud Bet, just to do a little bit at the end there. Okay, the end of yesterday's daf talked about davar acher al pishnai medim shalote sanhedrin shomat mi piat torgeman. It was a different drasha on the al pishnai medim, which is a totally different issue, which is just interesting that the Sanhedrin can't hear things from an interpreter. Al pishnai medim, you have to hear it directly. It's very interesting, having gone to Russia and worked with translators, I can totally understand why one would not get a good direct translation. Hanu laoze, now we get a story. Hanu laoze da'atu l'kame de Rava, they came before Rava. Okay, Rava torgeman benayu. So Rava put an interpreter between them. So the Gemara asked, "Hechi avid hachi? How could he do that?" V'had snan, doesn't it say in the Mishnah, "Shalote Sanhedrin shamat mipia torgeman"? So they answer, "Rava meida have a yada, madhavu amre v'adurei hu dilo have a yada." He knew, he understood, but he didn't know how to speak the language. So he understood what they were saying, and therefore, hearing the testimony is obviously the part that needs to be direct. His communication with them could be with an interpreter. I just thought it was an interesting halacha. Okay. Top of Zion now. Ila v'tuvia krive de'arva havu. Now we have a case where Ila and Tuvia were krovim of the guarantor of a loan. So they weren't krovim to the lover of the mava, but they were krovim to the guarantor. Have a savar of Papa lemeimar, Rav Papa thought to say, gabe lova umalve rechike ninu. They're not relatives to the lova and the malve, they're only relatives to the guarantor. So therefore, we can allow them to testify. Amarle Rav Huna bereid Rav Yoshua le Rav Papa, Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yoshua, says to him, ilaitle le lova la batar arve azil, but if the lova doesn't have money, aren't we going to go to the guarantor? In which case, la batar arve azil malve, isn't the malve going to go to the guarantor? Which means that, obviously, they are no gebe edut, and you can't accept them. It's interesting that Rav Papa actually thought that you could, because it seems like a pretty obvious situation that you can't, but I guess he felt like, you know, they're already less nogea b'davar, but in fact, he knocked them out and said they were nogea b'davar. Okay, new Mishnah. Mi shenigmar dino barach uba lifnei oto beitim. Somebody gets convicted as an eidzo meim, and then he runs away. We've seen this case a bunch of times. Uba lifnei oto beitim, and then he gets brought back before the same court. Ein sotrin et dino. Okay, they can't reopen the case. They don't say, oh, well, now that it came to us, so we can reopen the case. No, we don't reopen the case. Kol makom she'amdu shnayim v'yomru, m'idim anu b'ish ploni she'nigmar dino b'beitin shal ploni, uploni uploni edav, hare ze yehare. Another similar situation. If two people come and say, now obviously we're talking about they come to a different court. So they come and they say, we testify that these guys were convicted in such and such a court, and these were the witnesses. So we're allowed to kill the edim based on that testimony. Sanhedrin, no heget. Soon in the Gemara, we're going to deal with those first two cases. Is there a bit of a contradiction between them? We'll see. Sanhedrin, no heget, bein ba'aretz, bein b'chutz la'aretz. This is an interesting halacha. That the Sanhedrin, it's interesting also because the pshat of the mission is not actually what we do. The Sanhedrin can be in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. What do we mean by Sanhedrin here? We obviously don't mean the Sanhedrin of 71, which didn't work in Chutz La'aretz. But what we mean is the ones of 23, that they judge Dinei Nefashot. So according to this, you can judge Dinei Nefashot also in Chutz La'aretz. However, in other places it comes up that you can't judge Dinei Nefashot unless you have Smicha, and Smicha was only given in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, what they mean to say is that the way this is taken, halacha l'maaseh, is that the Sanhedrin is noheged b'chutz la'aretz only if the rabbanim there, the dayanim, had smicha from Eretz Yisrael. So they very much limit this halacha, that it's not anyone in Babel could have made a debate din of Esrim v'shalosh, it was that you needed to have judges from Eretz Yisrael. Okay, there's a whole thing, this whole sugya in general is going to be one of those sugyot we've seen in the past, where the people in Eretz Yisrael are trying to keep their foothold on the power, Okay, it's a power struggle here between, if you recall, we've talked about this, but I'll repeat it, that as the Jews moved out of Israel to Babylonia at the end of the Tekufat HaTana'im, in the beginning of the Tekufat HaMora'im, Rav and Shmuel basically build these Batei Midrash in these yeshivot in Bavel, and people start moving there because things aren't good in Israel, and the power starts shifting, and the people in Israel try to keep their stronghold on it. So this, the Mishnah seems to say, oh, it's all the same. But later, they limit it, okay? And soon we're going to see also the Gemara tries to show how Eretz Yisrael has more prominence, okay? It came up, we've seen it in Kiddush HaChodesh, that you can only do Kiddush HaChodesh in Eretz Yisrael, which actually there's some logic to that, because otherwise you'll end up with two calendars, which will really make things out of control. Burial. Okay, the idea of burying people in Eretz Yisrael comes from that time period where they tried to say, oh, the Kedushah Haaretz, and you should bury people in Israel, and some other halachot. Okay, continuing on. Now, this is one of the most interesting Mishnayot after learning all about the big questions, why this doesn't appear in Sanhedrin. But again, if you see Sanhedrin is just as Makot as a continuation, you could see that this is really, I'll preface this by saying, we're about to start the new Perek, which is Elu Hein HaGolim, these who go to Ir Miklat, which means that we've basically gone in our progression in Sanhedrin from the Arba Mito Beitin to the Malkot, and now we're basically done with all those types of punishments. So this is really the end. And the last, this end part where it's really talking, the truth is I should point out, even though I gave these examples of the Nigmar Dino Barach, it actually, I said it was about Edim Zomim, but it really could be a general, just about anyone who had Gmar Din. I actually don't think it's referring, even though I explained it that way. I think now, thinking about it, it's talking about anybody who Nigmar Dino. It's not only an Edim Zomim. It's anybody who had Gmar Din. Now we're sort of being misakem all of Dinim of Sanhedrin, that, you know, Makot and Mita, which, by the way, the structure of the Mishnah might support the opinion that Makot is best for Mishlosha. If you remember way back to the very beginning of Sanhedrin, there was a machloket. Do we do Makot in three, with three judges, or 23? And here, ending the whole thing and talking about the Sanhedrin of it, Mishlosha, Zenohege Bebarat Bemachutz La'aretz. So unless you want to say maybe the pshat of the Mishnah is the Sanhedrin, is any Sanhedrin 3 or 23. But still, it could be seen as a connection. As we talked about before, is Makot closer to Dine Mamonot, or is Makot closer to Dine Nefashot? We saw that discussion also last week. So now we get to the Mishnah that at the end of at our Siyum, when Mike spoke, he spoke specifically about this. Sanhedrin ha'oreget echad b'shavua. What is Shavua in the Gemara? Shavua is? Sheva shanim. Okay, it's a Shemitah cycle. So a Sanhedrin that kills once a week, or I'm sorry, not once a week, I'm translating it literally, once every 7 years is nikra chovlanit, is like a murderous beitin. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, there's a typo here, it should be Elazar ben Azariah, Omer, Echad l'shavim shana, once every 70 years. Now there's a big debate here. When he says once every 70 years, does he mean once every 70 years it's a murderous beitin, meaning you shouldn't do it once every 70 years, or is he saying once every 70 years is the normal course of events? Okay, we're going to see that question in the Gemara. I just wanted to point out right here, it's not clear, because he doesn't say the words nikret chovlanit. So is he referring and saying, well, once every 70 would be chovlanit? Okay, or does he mean, no, once every 70 is normal? Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva amrim, ilu hayinu basanedrin, lo neharag adam meolam. If we had been sitting on the Sanhedrin, nobody would have ever been killed. What do you mean, if we had sat on the Sanhedrin? When did they live? Right before the Churban and after the Churban. But wasn't there a Sanhedrin before the Churban? So what do you mean they weren't sitting on the Sanhedrin? But the Sanhedrin, in the 40 years before, they already stopped dealing with Dinei Nefashot. Okay, they kind of said we're losing. I'm trying to remember why exactly. But anyway, they stopped already, I think, 40 years before the Churban. They weren't doing Dinei Nefashot anymore. Okay, I can't remember exactly the reason why. Rashbag omer af heim marbim shufchei damim b'Yisrael. Rashbag disagrees with Rabbi Akiva and maybe even everybody else and says, what do you mean? If you don't kill people, Right? This is exactly what Mike was talking about in his discussion. If you don't kill people, you're going to cause people to be shofchei damim. And the point of the death penalty is to scare people and to prevent them. It's a preventative method, not just punitive, but also preventative. And therefore, if you don't ever kill, you're going to be marbesh shofchei damim b'Yisrael.
Okay. Deterrent.
Right, it's a deterrent. So some people say, by the way, that even though these people said you shouldn't do it, if it was 100% clear that these people, that, you know, 100 people were chayav death, then they would actually kill them. Okay, so even though what they're trying to say is you should be extra, 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 extra careful before you kill anybody, but if you need to, then you can. Okay, lifnei, so now the Gemara starts off with the first two cases. Lifnei oto beit din, according to the first case, mishnei gemar dino barach, there was gemar din, he runs away, then he comes back before oto beit din, then ein sotrim etino. So what does that seem to imply? Lifnei oto beit din hu de ein sotrim. But ha lifnei beit din acher sotrim. But it sounds like if you would come before a different court, if you run away, you were convicted, you run away, it sounds like, since it only said if you come before that court, they don't reopen the case. It sounds like if you came before another court, they'd have to reopen the case, recheck out the witnesses, make sure everything was legit before they actually killed. You could imagine why they would think such a thing. Because you get to a court and somebody says, well, this was judged already, but you don't, here right now you're going to take someone and kill them when you don't really know all the facts of the case. So it seems a little weird, and therefore it would be implied from here, only if it's the exact same court, but a different court, you could reopen the case. But look at the next case in the Mishnah. That would contradict the inference from the next case. Hatane Seifa, kom v'kom she'am du shnayim v'yomru, as long as two witnesses come and say, midim anu et ish ploni shenigmar dino bebetin ploni, we know that he was convicted in this court, uploni uploni edav, and there his edim, hareza neherag. So he gets killed. So that implies, obviously, this is a different court, right? They went before a different court, and he gets killed, meaning, the assumption is he gets killed, and they don't reopen the case. So Amar Abaye lo kashya, kam be'eretz Yisrael, kam b'chutz la'aretz. There's a difference between whether we're talking about in Israel or in chutz la'aretz. As I told you, we're going to get to the difference here. Titania, Rabbi Yehuda ben Dostai, Omer Mishum, Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach. Okay, now Abaye is quoting, or the Gemara is quoting, to support Abaye's statement, a statement that was said in the name of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Shetach, Barach me'eretz Yisrael lechutz al aretz. Okay, if he was convicted in a court outside of Israel, and then he comes to Israel, what's going to be the obvious thing? Well, we don't trust the dayanim in chutz la aretz, and therefore, ein sotrin etino. Sorry, I said the opposite. If he left from Eretz Yisrael to chutz la aretz, if he was judged in Israel, and then went to chutz la'aretz. So obviously in chutz la'aretz, we're not going to allow them to undo what the Beit Din in Israel did. If the Beit Din in Israel did it, well, then obviously it was done well. Ein sotrim etino. But mechutz la'aretz, la'aretz sotrim etino. But if it was from chutz la'aretz where they judged him, and then they came to Eretz Yisrael, then they reopened the case. Mishum zchuta shel Eretz Yisrael. Okay, because of the zchut of Eretz Yisrael, we assume that whatever was done in Israel was right. I think there's also a certain element, which maybe I didn't discuss enough when we were discussing all sorts of things, but that really in the harago ein haragin sugya, there's some who view it as that it's God's hand that's orchestrating things, and there's a famous Gemara we'll get to soon in Makot about this. God orchestrates things to happen, and that specifically if harago ein haragin, if the Edim Zomim succeeded in getting the other people killed, then they wouldn't be killed. And why is that? Because the assumption is that if they got killed, then God must have wanted it that way, right? That it was, maybe they really were guilty, right? That it was God's hand making things happen. Okay? So here also, there's an idea of in Eretz Yisrael, the Shekhinah is there, right? That there's more of God there. And because of that, okay, it could be that. It could be also, as we said, that it was the Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael trying to keep a stronghold and saying, well, we're better than you. Okay? Okay, next case. Sanhedrin noheget bein baretz bein b'chutz laretz. Menan emile, where do we know that it's also in chutz laretz? Detanu rabbanan. Vayu ele lachem lechukat mishpat ledorotechem. Okay, these are your laws, ledorotechem. But the pasuk continues. They don't give the whole pasuk, which is really the one that's most important. Bechol moshvotechem, in all the places where you live. Lamanu lesanhedrin shenoheget baretz uvechutz laretz. So then they say, wait a minute, but there's another pasuk which seems to imply it's only in Eretz Yisrael. Im kei ma tamud lomar b'sha'arecha. Where's this? Parashat Shoftim. Shoftim v'shotrim titein lecha b'chol sha'arecha. In all your gates. That generally refers to Israel. Okay, it says, it actually says, b'chol sha'arecha asher Hashem elokecha noten lecha l'shivtecha. That's Israel. So why does it say put up judges only in your sha'arim, which would imply b'sha'arecha tamoshiv batei dinim. That's already the answer. So b'sha'arecha, why does it say b'sha'arecha, which seems to imply only in Eretz Yisrael? So they say b'sha'arecha tamoshiv batei dinim b'chol pelech u'pelech u'b'chol ir v'ir. Every district and every city in Israel. U'b'chutz la'aretz tamoshiv b'chol pelech u'pelech v'ir tamoshiv b'chol ir v'ir. In chutz la'aretz, you don't have to put up batei din in all the cities, only ezori. Okay, regional courts and not local courts. Sanhedrin ha'oreget. So this is the question we said before. Ibailu echad l'shivim shana nikret chavlanit o dilma or harahi. Or is that what they're saying? The standard should be once every 70 years, or is it once in 70 years? You shouldn't even kill once every 70 years. And unfortunately, the Gemara answers teku. We don't know what the answer is. Okay. Rabbi Tarfon v'Rabbi Kiva yomrim ilu hayinu v'chule hechi hava avdu. What would they have done? Okay, in order to, basically, in other words, if somebody came and was convicted of murder, so how are you going to avoid killing them, right? They said we never would have killed anybody. So what would they have done? Rabbi Yochanan v'Rabbi Elazar, d'amri travayu, both of them say, re'item trefa harag, shalem harag, they would ask, did you see, did the guy, so yes, it's true, he clearly murdered him, but maybe he was a trefa, maybe he had something wrong that was going to make him die within the next 12 months, maybe he had some gum inside of one of his evarim, in his internal organs. Amar Rav Ashi, and imtim tzalo'o, so what they're basically saying is that maybe you didn't know that he was a trefa. In other words, it could be he had something wrong inside with one of his internal organs and you never would have known. So they're basically saying, it's possible that the guy was a trefa, so we can't kill based on that. Okay, they would find this out, which you could basically find that out in any case. Any time you kill somebody, you know, how would you know if he was a trefa? Unless, I guess, you did an autopsy and checked the body, which obviously they weren't doing. Amar Rav Ashi, im timtzalom shalem hava, dilma bekom saif nakav. Okay, so he's saying, and even if they said he was shalem, in other words, I didn't explain it well. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar would say that they would try to push the guy into saying, are you sure that he was not a trefa, right? But then Rav Ashi later, a few generations later, comes and says, well, you didn't really finish it, though, because what if he said the guy was shalem? So if he said the guy was shalem, you could say, dilma b'kom sayif nakav. And even if you knew that the guy was perfectly, everything was good, you could say, and let's say after death, it seems clear his internal organs are good, but maybe you could say that exactly where you stabbed him and killed him, maybe there was something wrong there. Maybe, you know, now, of course it's punctured, but maybe it was even punctured before and you'd have no way to know because that's exactly where you stabbed him. So he's basically saying you could always come up with some out there. But what's the issue here? You don't only kill people for murder. You kill people for all sorts of things. So what are the two main things you kill people for? Murder and sleeping with someone else's wife. So they say, Hayabo elatarva hecha hava avdu. So what if someone was caught having sex with someone else's wife? So what would they do then? Abai varava damri travayu re'item ki mechob shofroferet. Did you actually see his organ enter into her body? In other words, yeah, you saw they were doing something, but it's not clear that you actually saw what happened. They actually had sex. V'rabanan hechi dayane. What about Rabbanan who said you could kill people for that? And say, how do you ever judge a case of an esh adish? How do you ever know? Nobody ever really sees everything. So he says, Kishmuel, damar Shmuel, b'na'afim mishayaru kiminafim. When it comes to people who are having ni'uf, so as long as they look like they're having sex, you don't have to actually see the exact act of sexual relations. Okay, Hadron alaf ketzad eidim. On that note, finish that paragraph. Okay, and like I said, that's sort of the end of all these punishments. Okay, now we get to Eluhin Hagolim. Now, Galut has a very weird nature to it, which we've discussed before, but now we'll give a good introduction to it, which is, how does Galut work? First of all, there were 6 Arei Mikvat, cities of refuge. They were built in the cities of the Leviim, and they were meant for, right? You had to put up signs to show where, so that if somebody accidentally killed, they would know exactly where to go. Right? I always imagine like these signs, Irmikla, right? Like these big signs all over. Okay, and the Rotzach would run there, and he would live there until the Kohen Gadol dies. And the assumption was that when the Kohen Gadol died, that was kapara for him. Obviously, you could end up with a weird situation where the Kohen Gadol dies after you die, you know, and you never get out, or the Kohen Gadol dies the next day and you're immediately out. Now, what does the Irmikla provide you with? Number one, it provides you with protection from the person, the family, the Goel Hadam. So why is it important for you to have signs to get there? Because you got to get there as quickly as possible, because if the relatives kill you, they're allowed to kill you when you're not in the Irmiklad. If you get to the Irmiklad and you stay there, it's like tag, big game of tag, right? You're in the Irmiklad, you're protected. Nobody can do anything to you. But if you leave the Irmiklad, then you no longer have protection. The Goel Hadam kills you, he's not responsible. But if you're in the Irmiklad and he kills you, then he'll get the death penalty. So it's true, he could still kill you, but you know, I imagine you know, you have to... He must have had guards also on the way into the Irmiklat to make sure that nobody was coming in when it was supposed to. I'm not sure if that's true or not. I don't remember if the sources talk about it. We'll see. So on the one hand, the Irmiklat is a protection. On the other hand, it's a punishment. Galut, in general, we use the word galut in a very negative way. It's you have to leave your hometown, wherever you're used to. You have to go to a different place, set up shop, become a new person, right? It's a whole process. Number one, it's a process of kapara. You're learning, I did something wrong, I have to do kapara for it. But it's also punishment, right? I mean, punishment has kapara elements to it. So Irmiklat is very tricky because it's viewed both as a positive thing, that it protects you, but also as a negative thing. Now, why is this important? Because if, for example, we're going to talk about this, there's all sorts of, there's what we call shogeg, okay? That's accidental murder, okay? That's going to be in the middle. Okay, if we have, let's say, a timeline, shogeg is in the middle. But then there's going to be a case of shogeg karov lemezid. Okay, so if you're shogeg karov lemezid, meaning, what classic shogeg we're going to talk about is, you know, you were, the case in the Gemara, you were in the Torah, you were chopping a tree, and the back of your axe, the metal piece, flies out. Today we'll talk about it, or maybe we'll get to it, maybe we won't get to it, but is this the case? But let's assume this is the case. The back of the piece of the axe goes flying as you were chopping down. It goes flying out and it goes back and kills someone. Now, are you responsible for that? Well, on the one hand, it's sort of in the middle. You didn't really check your axe well enough to make sure it was intact and all the pieces weren't going to fall out, so you're a little bit responsible. On the other hand, you didn't really have any idea that this was going to happen, so it's kind of in the middle. But there's going to be cases that are karov lemezid. In that case, you're not, I'm going to, right, okay, I'll give you, before I even get there, the shogeg ben karov leonis, which is really accidental, okay? It's much more accidental than not. Neither of those cases do you go to the Irmiklat, okay? But each one for a different reason. If you're karov lemezid, you don't get the protection of the Irmiklat. And basically, it's your loss. Like, number one, we're not going to, okay, on the one hand, we're not going to kill you in court. However, you're not going to get the protection provided. So you have to live your entire life being in fear of the Goel Adam. And if they kill you, they don't get the death penalty. So that's Shogeg Karov Lemezi. Shogeg Karov Leones, you don't even need to go to the Irmiklat. So you don't get punished at all. And if the Goel Adam kills you, he's responsible, or he's she, and they will get the death penalty. So basically, even though both these are exceptions to the rule, they're exceptions from they mean totally different things. And what's going to be very interesting about our daf today is that there's going to be all these drashot based on the pasuk in the Torah, and they're going to say, this shows that this is the case that's shogeg, but the other way wouldn't be, and you wouldn't go to Irmiklat. But in each, almost every single case, there's a debate about whether the exception is an exception because it's karov lemezid, or an exception because it's karov leones. So what I wanted to point out here is that it's a huge confusion, okay? I think in general it's confusing to figure out where to draw the lines. Not only is it tricky for us to figure out where to draw the lines, but the Rishonim didn't understand where to draw the lines either. In other words, they said, oh, this case? Well, it's a question, right? Some people thought it meant it was really accidental. And some people thought, no, it was closer to intentional. So it's very complicated to know where to draw the lines and what's exactly. And so I wanted to put it this way. If it confuses you how to figure out whether something's negligence where you would go to Irmiklat, or negligence where it's karov lemezid, or negligence where it's karov leones, it was confusing for them too, even though the Gemara stipulates what goes to Yermaklat, what doesn't go to Yermaklat. The Gemara doesn't say, because it's Karov L'Onis, or it's Karov L'Mezid. And it's obviously a very huge difference. Because again, if you say it's Karov L'Mezid, and the Goel Adam then is allowed to kill them. And if you say it's Karov L'Onis, then the Goel Adam can't. So it's a huge difference. And again, does it mean you're guilty or you're not guilty? But yet, it caused a lot of confusion, and there's a lot of different opinions. So I charted it out to make it a little bit clearer, at least the confusion. Okay.
I don't know whether there's an answer. I'm stuck on the logistics. If you need to go to the Yermaklat, you need to get there as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
In either of the other two cases, it sounds like there has to be some kind of court determination of your status. And I didn't see where.
So when would they determine your status?
You have to run because you're not sure.
That's a good question. In other words, who's going to, especially as I said, that it's totally confusing how to determine. So how would it be determined?
Would you go to the Yermaklat and then they bring you back after they've decided? Because
right. So first of all, if you murder someone, it could be they'll bring you to court because you murdered someone. And then the court will have to determine, did you murder on purpose or did you murder, was it accidental? So if it's Karov L'Mezid, I have to imagine that somebody's going to bring you to court and say you murdered this person and you should be judged for it. And then they'll have to judge and they'll check, were there witnesses, were there, what was the situation? And then they might be kovea, oh, this was Karov L'Mezid. If it's Karov L'Onis, where you wouldn't even think to bring the guy to court, then again, right, who would determine that? Maybe the Goel Hadam will bring it up and say to the court, I want to kill this person. And maybe it would be a good question. I'm not sure it comes up in the Gemara exactly the logistics of how that worked out. It's a good question. Eluhein Hagolim. So now we're going to have a list of who goes to Yermaklat. Even though it's obvious. Ha'reg Nefesh Mishkaga. Okay, that's the answer. But they're going to give a list of a few cases. Hayam Al Gel B'Ma'agela. Okay, this is a tool they would use to
tar the roof.
Tar the roof, that's the word. Yafeh. So it was this tool they would use to tar the roofs before the rainy season. Vinafla ala v'haragto. So he's basically working in this downward motion. Okay, we're going to talk about that. It's all derech yirida. Okay, he's working in this downward motion, and it basically it then falls the magela is the tool. It falls down and it kills somebody. That's a classic. I was doing something, I let go of it. I wasn't trying to let go. I didn't know even someone was down there. It falls and it kills somebody on the way down. Hayama shalshel b'chavit v'nafla ala v'haragto. He was putting his dli down, lowering it down, and then it falls. Let's say he's lowering it off his roof, and it falls down and kills somebody. Haya yoreh b'sulam v'nafla ala v'haragto hareze golet. Or he was going down a ladder, and he falls down, and he kills somebody. These three people go to Yermaklat. I saw a good commentary about why these three cases, what's the progression? With the Magela, you're not really so concerned about the tool falling. So, you're not as careful. And yet, it falls and it kills. When you're putting your chavit down, you want to be very careful because if it breaks, it's going to ruin your chavit. Okay, so you're going to be even more careful. And yet still, if it falls, you're chayav. And the third case is obviously yourself. When you're on a ladder, you're obviously going to be very careful, right? And yet you fall and you kill someone. So that's the progression of the cases. Aval, im haya moshech b'magela, if you were moving it upward, v'nafla alav haragto, or haya dole b'chavit, you were raising up your barrel, v'nifzak hachevel, v'nafla alav haragto, or haya ole b'sulam, or you were going up the ladder, v'nafla alav harago, hareze eno gole. Ze haklal, kol shebederech yiridato gole, here's the klal. Only if you're going down. Now, what's the obvious reason here? Because the Meiri says it well, and I think the Rambam also says it, that it's gravity. Gravity pulls you down, and therefore you're somewhat responsible because you know things on their way down are going to be even pulled further down. But if you're working against gravity going up, then the assumption is it's less likely you're gonna fall, and therefore, if you do, then it's already gonna be karov la'onis. Okay, you weren't at all supposed to expect. Like when you're lowering something, it's likely it might fall. When you're working downward, it might fall, but when you're going up, it's less likely. Of course, you could say climbing up a ladder isn't. Right, it's a little. You could fall either which way, but. Anyway, if you want to say that reason doesn't sit with you so well, the main reason is, which we're going to see in a minute, which is, I'll even start with it, Gemara starts, Minan, and Mile, where do we know this from? Amar Shmuel, Amar Kra, Vayapol, Ala, Vayamot, Ad Shipol, Derech Nipila. The Pasuk says it. So even if you're not convinced by the reason, we call this a gzerat katuv. This is the way the Torah describes someone who kills b'shogeg. It says v'yipol alav v'yamot. Okay, it says o b'chol even asher yamut ba b'lo ra'ot. V'yapel alav v'yamot. Okay, v'hulo oyev lo v'lo mevakesh ra'ato. There's all this psukim that describe in detail how someone is killed b'shogeg. So because it says that, it's gzerat katuv. Now we're going to darshan a bunch of these psukim. Okay, it says if you look in the Torah, or you'll see the first pasuk. V'kretem lachem, it's b'mibra lamed heyud aleph. V'kretem lachem arim, arim miklatiyena lachem. V'nash shama rotzeach makeh nefesh bishgaga. Anyone who kills bishgaga is going to run there. So Tana Rabbanan bishgaga. What does the word bishgaga come to exclude? Prat lemezid. Okay, it comes to exclude intentional murder. So Gemara is going to obviously say, what are you talking about? Obviously, that's, what do you need that for? We'll get to it in a minute. Bivli da'at, okay, this is another pasuk. Ir Mikla comes up in two places, one at the very end of Bamidbar and one in Devarim. Okay, Devarim often repeats things, so it's repeated in Devarim in a bit of a different way. So this pasuk is from Devarim Yutet, which is V'zed Devar HaRotzeach Asher Yanu Shama. This is what happens about the Rotzeach who goes to the Ir Miklat. V'chai, and gets to live, asher yaket re'eu bivli da'at, without knowing, v'hu lo soneh lo mitmol shel shom, and he didn't hate him from before. Okay, so now we're going to talk about bivli da'at. The Braita continues. Now, the Braita is just going to be quoting, you know, it quotes a pasuk from there and a pasuk from here. Bivli da'at prat lemitkaven. Okay, bivli da'at means you didn't know. What's it coming to exclude? If you intended. So now the Gemara questions, what do you mean? Mezid pshita. Obviously, if you did it by mezid, you don't go to the Ir Miklat. Bar kad lehu, you're supposed to get killed. Amar Rava, ema prat leomer mutar. Rava says it's coming to say that it excludes someone who thought that murder was allowed. Okay? Yafe, right? It's an interesting one. So what's the obvious? Rava thinks that omer mutar is karov lemezid. In other words, you said, I didn't know it was usher to murder. You know, you laugh, but what did we say? You need hatra'ah. You always need warning. So what he's really trying to say, this guy wasn't warned, and he claims he didn't know it was murder, so he's not going to get killed, but he's also not considered accidental. Okay, that seems pretty logical. But Abaye is a little not so logical. Amarle Abaye, iomer mutar anusu. He says, what do you mean? Omer mutar, what more onus is there than that? You had no idea it was usher to murder. So that's anus gamur, right? Okay, or I don't know gamur, but Abaye views this as onus. Okay, here's our first debate about whether something is karov lemezir or karov leonus. Amar le, so Rava says, what are you talking about? Shani omer ha, omer mutar, karov lemezir, who? In other words, I don't think that omer mutar, you know, I view that as karov lemezir, not karov leonus. Okay, interesting machloket. Thankfully, we usually hold like Rava. Okay, next part of the bright. So again, the Gemara says, mitkaven pshita bar katalehu. If you intend to murder someone, obviously, you're mazid. And you would go get killed. So I'm a Rava. Prat lemitkaven laharoget habehema vaharaget adam. Likuti vaharaget Yisrael. Lenefa vaharag ben kayama. Okay, what they're trying to say is someone who intended to kill an animal but accidentally killed a person, or someone who intended to kill a non-Jew where you wouldn't get the death penalty for that and killed a Jew, or someone who intended to kill a non-viable baby and killed a viable person. So in those cases, you're not going to go to Ir Miklat. And again, why not? Because you're karov le mezid. In other words, this is, you had an intent to kill, but you didn't actually kill the person. We learned in Sanhedrin all about this, that you don't get murdered, you don't get the death penalty for this, but you also can't say, well, oh, look, I didn't get the death penalty, I get to go to Ir Miklat. No, no, no. You don't get to go to Ir Miklat, which would mean also that if the Goel Adam tries to kill you for this, then, you know, you could get, he could kill you. Tanu Rabbanan. Now we're continuing on with, okay, now we have a pasuk from Bamidbar Lamed Hei, back to there, pasuk Kafbet. Ve'im befeta, now befeta usually means suddenly. We're going to see that not everybody explains this as suddenly. Below eva, hadafo, okay, without hating. Again, we keep seeing this hatred come up. It's an obvious theme, right, that we're suspect. If somebody hated someone, then really maybe, and accidentally, quote unquote, killed them, not really, we don't view this as accidental. Hadafo, pushed, oh, he shlich alav, or he threw it upon him. I don't know exactly how to translate that. Kol kli belotzdia, any kli, and he threw upon him some kli without intent. Okay, so now we're going to darshan the parts of that sentence. Im befeta, prat lekeren zavit. Okay, so how does Rashi explain in befeta? Rashi says, befeta, lashon feta hu bisamuch. If you're next to the guy, if you're next to him, you're carrying a knife, you're next to the guy, and all of a sudden you accidentally stab him, okay, without realizing, so you're responsible for that, okay? Then you go to Ir Mikla. But if it was by a Keren Zavit, now how does Rashi understand Keren Zavit? Keren Zavit is usually a corner, okay? What he means to say, I don't know how he gets this exactly from Keren Zavit, this is at least the way the Ritva understands Rashi, because Rashi is very hard to understand. He says, okay, he was coming out of one alley and going to the next one to turn. And the other guy starts coming toward him as he's turning, and the other guy's coming toward him, and the murderer didn't see him. But the assumption is that the guy coming toward him saw him. Now, this goes back to what we learned when we learned Adamu Alolam, that when it comes to damages, yes, it's true, you're always responsible for damages you cause, but not if the other person should have been more aware of what was going on. So according to this interpretation, what are we going to say? That if the killer, if the victim was walking toward you and you kind of turned and didn't see him, but he saw you and you killed him, that's called karov la'onis, because he should have gotten out of the way. He's more responsible than you are. Okay, that's Rasha's interpretation.
You never know if he saw you.
Right. So how would you know? It's a very good question. It's a big weakness in Rashi. The other opinion is, and I always think about my street bento, okay, for everybody who turns onto my street, when you turn that corner, you can't see if there's anybody coming at you, and it's very likely you could hit into somebody. So that's the Keren Zavit they're talking about, and there you're Karov Lemezid, according to the other interpretation, okay? And this this interpretation is basically saying, the Meiri says this, I think the Rambam also, that basically, if you're carrying a knife as you're turning the corner, like driving a car, right, you've got to drive slow on that corner. And if you don't drive slowly, you're basically responsible. Okay? Obviously, you could see where Rashi would come from, though. In that case, there's two cars. Both cars, if both are going fast, right, then they're both responsible. But in a sense, what they're saying is if you're the one carrying the knife, okay, whereas the car, maybe both are responsible. But if you're carrying the knife and you turn a corner and you're not careful and someone all of a sudden goes around that corner, well, obviously, you're going to be responsible. So again, we have two different interpretations of what this Keren Zavit is. Next case. Below Eva, okay, this one there's no machloket about. Below Eva means prat lesone. But if you hated the guy, right, he was someone who really hated the victim, then we're going to assume it was Karov Lemezi. Hadafo. Okay, if you push him, right, that's the next word in the pasuk. Oh, hadafo, you pushed him. Shadachafo vigufo. The pshat here is that the Braita is explaining what it means, hadafo. You pushed him with your body. If you push him with your body by accident, right, and he dies, so that's classic, you go to Ir Mikla. But the Rambam doesn't understand it this way. And the Rambam and the Meiri say, no. This whole Braita is saying this word comes to exclude this case, and that this is this case is excluded. If you push someone with your body, that's karov lemezid. Okay, if you push someone with your body and you kill them, that's going to be karov lemezid. Okay, so again, different interpretations. Ohishlich alav, you throw something upon him. So lahavi yirida shehit zorech aliyah. Again, they're going to say this comes to include a case, which again we're going to see the Rambam and the Iri actually say no, it excludes. But right now, we're going to assume we talked about Derech Yirida and Derech Aliyah. So you're going down the ladder, you're going up the ladder. But what if to go up the ladder, first you have to step down? So when you're stepping down on the rung in order to go up, or you're about to chop down a tree, but the tree is behind you, let's say. So in order to get momentum, you go down in order to go up. And when you went down, you killed. So you were really, the act you were doing was aliyah, but at that moment, you were doing derech yirida. So how would we view that? So again, according to the shot reading, it sounds like that's what it means, tishlich alav. It comes to include even a case. As long as you're biyirida, it doesn't matter if you're about to go up. It's included. But the Rambam and the Meiri say no. Yirida, the tzorech aliyah, is karov la'ones. Because remember, they put, right, derech aliyah. Oh, I didn't actually talk about this. It's the first thing on the chart. There's a big machloket about this derech aliyah. The way I explained it was the way the Rambam and the Meiri take it, which is that derech aliyah is against gravity, and therefore it's karov la'ones. You had less expectation. But there's actually a machloket. Well, see, when we get to Daftet, Rav Chista sees it as actually karov lemezid. Okay, the Mefarshim go with Rav's interpretation, but there is an explanation that's actually karov lemezid. But here we're going to assume it's right. Those who exclude it, the Rambam and the Meiri say, because they go with Rava, that it's Yerida. It's like Aliyah. It's an exclusion. It's an exception to the rule. Bilotstia, without intent. Prat lemitzkaben letzad zeva chala letzad acher. Okay, this there's actually also disagreement about. Okay, the Rambam says if you're mitzkaven to one, let's say you're throwing a rock and you intend it to go one way and somehow it goes the other way. So that's karov la'ones, right? You weren't really throwing it. But Rabbeinu Chananel and the Iri say, no, no, no. If you're throwing rocks, right, it's dangerous. So that's already karov la'mezid. Even if it somehow goes the other way, you weren't intending it to go there. That's karov la'mezid. Bashir lot sada. Okay, this is another pasuk. Bashir lot sada v'aluhim inali yado. Okay, we won't read the whole pasuk there. But again, it sounds like you didn't intend to come, must be coming to exclude another case. Prat lemitzkaben lezrok shtayim v'zarak arba. You intended to throw something two amot, and it went four amot. We also saw this in the past. Here, everybody agrees that if you're throwing it in the same direction, and it just goes farther, then you're obviously going to be considered karov lemezid. Okay, on there, there's no debate. It's the one, right? That and the soneh, there's no debate. And the mitkaven laharogat ha-be'ema v'aragat ha-adam. Okay, but all the rest, there's a debate. Bashir yavot re'eu bayar. That's the way the Torah describes the case. Okay, this is the one we talked about before. Asher yavot re'eu bayar lachtov etzim. You go with a friend, right? You go, right? It's a little weird. Et re'eu. You're not exactly going with your friend to the yard, but you go, and your friend happens to be in the yard also. And you're going to chop trees. And you, right, you're about to chop the tree, or you're trying to chop the tree. And it comes out. Umatzat re'eu v'met. Okay? Hu yanus alachad arim ha'elev v'chad. That's an example it gives in the Torah. By the way, there's a very strange sugya that the Torah gives so much description about what falls into this category, okay? And almost like you would think the Torah was giving all this description to make it very clear-cut. Obviously, it wasn't so clear-cut because we end up with so many different interpretations here. So anyway, what do they learn from this? Ma ya'ar rishut lanizak v'lamazik l'kanes l'sham. Af kol rishut lanizak v'lamazik l'kanes l'sham. It's only cases where the nizak and the mazik had rishut to be there. But for example, okay, there's a bit of a debate about some other cases, but let's assume that I walk into somebody's yard, and I start chopping down a tree, and then I accidentally kill them, and I didn't have rishut to go into their yard. Of course, I'm going to be responsible, right? That's already karov lemezid, right? Again, I didn't intend to kill him, so I'm not a murderer that will get killed, but I'm karov lemezid. What was I doing in his property? Ba mina Rabbi Avahu mi Rabbi Yochanan. Haya ole besulam, v'nishmat ha-shliva mitachtav, v'nefla v'haragam mahu. Ki agavna aliyahi, oh yiridahi. This is exactly what I was talking about before. If you go up on the ladder, but as you step, you're stepping down, but you're actually trying to go up. So would that be called derech aliyah or derech yiridah? So amar leik far nagata bi yiridah shitzarech aliyah. We already discussed that. That's a classic case of yiridah shitzarech aliyah, which obviously then depends on, he doesn't say what the halacha is. It depends on what you think about aliyah v'derech yiridah, okay, which was the fourth to last thing on the case, which was either you say it's included and then you go to Ir Miklat, or the Rambam and the Iri say, no, 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 that's karov la'ones and you wouldn't go to Ir Miklat. Okay, etive, zehaklal. Okay, here's a question. It says zeh klal kol she b'derech yiridato gole shelo b'derech yiridato eino gole shelo b'derech yiridato latu yemai. So if it says shelo b'derech yiridato eino gole, right? Why would it? First of all, why would it word it that way? And why does it even need to tell you that? If it already said derech yiridato gole, then it would be obvious shelo b'derech yiridato eino gole. So what's it coming to include? My lav latu yeki agavna. Isn't it trying to include this case? Right? Shelo b'derech yiridato, but you're doing yiridato l'derech aliyah. So then they say, what do you mean? V'litameh kol shebederech yiridato latu yemai. That's also the words kol shebederech yiridato would need to include something. Ela latu ye katsav. Hachanami latu ye katsav. There must be that both these wordings are coming to include specifically a butcher. What's with the butcher? Detanya katsav shayam katsev. Tanachada lefanav. Chayav l'achorav patur. There's going to be four bright taught about a katsav. Okay, so one says if he's doing lifanavis chayav, but if he's chopping mechorav, like he's going backwards, patur. V'tanya idach, a different brayta says, we're going to have all four permutations. La'acharav chayav lifanav patur. If he's behind him, he's chayav. If he's in front of him, he's patur. V'tanya idach, bein lifanav, bein la'acharav chayav. It doesn't matter which direction he's going, he's chayav. And the fourth one says, tanya idach, bein lifanav, bein la'acharav patur. Okay? Whether it's behind him, whether it's in front of him, is patur. Below kasha, don't worry about these four things that they seem to contradict. Kam bi yiridah shelefanav ba'aliyah shelacharav. Kam ba'aliyah shelefanav bi yiridah shelacharav. Kam bi yiridah shelefanav v'shelacharav. Kam ba'aliyah shelefanav v'shelacharav. Okay, what does this mean? This means, in other words, if he was yiridah shelefanav v'aliyah shelacharav, in other words, it's all a matter of what direction he was going in. Yiridah or aliyah, it doesn't matter if he was before him or could be he was going forward, going up in order to go backwards down. In other words, it's all a matter of you could also go forwards down and forwards and backwards down. They're basically saying it's all just a matter of what direction you were going, and they're saying that the words, the extra words in the Mishnah were just to include these cases, to teach you that it's all just a matter of not were you going forward or backwards, were you going up or down. Okay? Because forward, backwards doesn't necessarily mean up or down. Okay. So, you know, we're over. We'll stop here. We'll pick up from here tomorrow.